And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
Round one was awesome. Round two's off to a blazing start. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. Round two, playoff preview. This podcast is a presentation of Bet365. Hockey fan, check out Bet365's three-goal early payout. When your team goes up three, you get paid. It's that simple. Download the app today. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. What's going on, Jake? How are you, bud?
I missed you guys. It feels like it's been way too long here, and a lot has transpired since the last time that we talked, Nick. And we saw a lot of teams eliminated. We only did get one game seven. Unfortunately, I was hoping for a couple more in round one, but maybe that changes here in round number two. We got some real competitive matchups.
Means that first round was outstanding. Headlined by your special team, the Montreal Canadiens. What a series. Boys, we called it. Very, very tight, very, very close. Goes to a game seven.
Yeah, we did. And we talked about the Canadiens probably being the best value on the board when it comes to winning the Stanley Cup. Now, it is only one round, but that was everything you could have asked for, right, Jake? I mean, 98.7% of the series was tied or within one goal. 65% of the series was tied. And the Lightning only led 27 minutes out of nearly 450. So credit to the Canadiens, the youngest team in the playoffs, and also Dobish. He was fantastic.
Incredible. It was a great series, guys, for the three-way money line tie. Oh. Nick, I know you like this a lot down the stretch in the regular season. I was loving it in the playoffs as well, and we had a bunch of games in that series go to overtime and in some other series as well. Maybe that's something we look here into round number two as these games get tight. You know, nobody wants to make that mistake in the third period. That three-way money line tie has been very, very sneaky. Maybe you throw the goalie saves in there as well, juice it up a little bit. That's an angle I was playing in the first round. I think I'm going to continue doing that.
I like that, Jakey, and our friends over at Bet365 not wasting any time when it comes to Stanley Cup odds, especially given Colorado and Carolina off to a good start with a 1-0 series lead. Carolina plus 190, Colorado plus 190. Means who's your front runner right now? I think for me it has to be Colorado, albeit I think Minnesota is going to give them a very, very difficult series here.
Yeah, you know, last night, maybe an outlier. I do think that we'll see a high-scoring series, but I think ultimately the same thing we've been talking about all year long. Like, great for Minnesota to get by Dallas, and they certainly deserve that series, but I think the lack of center depth is going to catch up to them, especially if there's no Joel Eriksson Ek for the next couple of games. You could really see it last night. So, fun game, one. I think we're going to get a lot of fun games in that series, Jake, but I will lean with the Avs. I think, you know, just the additions of Waugh and Kadri at the deadline, we'd love those additions. Makar looks like an absolute beast leading the Avs in goals here in the playoffs with four. So I'm going to lean with Colorado, but it does look like we're set up to see a Colorado-Carolina final.
I was going to ask you guys that. Is it as simple as these two teams are just on a collision course for a cup final right now? We know hockey it doesn't always cut that clean, right? Something's going to happen between now and then to maybe change it, but Nick, it's hard not to watch these two teams. Colorado 5-0 through five games. Carolina 5-0 through five games, and it doesn't feel like they face much resistance so far. Again, that could change. Dan Vladar could come out and have a great performance in game two for Philly and maybe flip the script a little bit, but it's hard to argue against these two teams as the teams to beat right now, Nick.
Hold on. We got to get Petey Jensen in here.
Yeah.
Okay, your Buffalo Sabres, man. What an incredible crowd in round one. Took care of the Boston Bruins sitting right now as we have this conversation. Plus 1,100 to win the Stanley Cup, Petey. And I got to give you credit. We're getting closer and closer. How about a Buffalo-Colorado Stanley Cup final? How do you feel about that, Petey?
I felt good about it before the playoffs started. That was my pick. I mentioned the goalie tandems. We already saw it, that horrible goal allowed by UPL in Game 2, and Lyon stepped right in and won them the series. Things changed drastically after that, after Boston led so much in those first two games. So, yeah, props to them. The whole market is revitalized, and I think you can look at Buffalo's Conn Smythe candidates. You know it's probably going to be either Dahlin or Tage, so you can maybe get a little bit of value there if you're high on the Sabres.
And to Pete's point, it's funny, Jake, because I think a real theme from the first round, notwithstanding that Colorado-Minnesota game, which is, of course, round two, but the goaltending. The last couple years, it seems like we get to the first round and pretty much every team uses both goalies. Yep. A lot different this year, where I think at the forefront was the net mining in round one.
And we're going to continue to have that conversation here. Obviously, Frederik Andersen has been a good and, I'd say, surprising story based on what we thought of him coming in. I know Freddie's had his moments in the past, and he actually has had some good first-round performances in the past, but I think we're all kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop or something to happen to him injury-wise. So you're always kind of thinking that with Frederik Andersen. I'm curious what Minnesota does here moving forward, because Wallstedt was obviously great in the first round, not so great in game one. Do you maybe give him a bit of a free pass and say Colorado's just a great offensive team, will give him a little bit more of a leeway? You got Philip Gustafson sitting there as well. I'm sure we're going to see a couple more goaltending changes as we move through the second round.
Yeah, I think we'll see Gustafson. If I was Minnesota, I'd go back to Wallstedt. I mean, it's one game. It's game one, again, without their best defensive center in Joel Eriksson Ek. But I think they give him another go, but I'd be shocked if we didn't see Gustafson. Just the way that the Avs can score, and he did have a good season. But at Carolina, they haven't been tested. I think they're just the fifth team in NHL history to go the first five games to start a postseason without even trailing. Andersen leads the playoffs in save percentage. He leads the playoffs in 5-5 save percentage. He's been perfect from mid-range and long range. The Hurricanes don't really give up a whole lot. I expect them to cruise by Philadelphia. What we saw in game one, I expect that the rest of the way. Maybe the Flyers get one game here. A good story, Nick, for Philadelphia and Rick Tocchet, but Carolina's just a stronger team, and I wonder how many days of rest they're going to have before the conference finals. It could be as long as 2 weeks.
It's crazy, Means, and we support our teammates over here at NHL Fantasy on Ice. I got to give you the floor. Logan Stankova, man, what a first-round series. Yeah. He has continued on to round two. I'm just looking at Conn Smythe odds. You got MacKinnon plus 570 or 475, Andersen plus 750, Makar plus 900, and your boy Logan Stankova at plus 1,000.
What a remarkable start. The youngest player in NHL history to begin a postseason on a five-game goal streak. He's got the six goals in the five games. He's been plus money in every single game for three-plus shots, which he's done. He's had four-plus shots in four games, five-plus in three games. That line has been fantastic. Taylor Hall and Jackson Blake, and that's what I thought there would be a mismatch. You know, Jake, all the top players are going to turn their attention to Aho. Whether Aho and Svechnikov or Jarvis are rolling, that's just the assignment. It's going to be against those guys. So, seen a mismatch so far early on in the playoffs, and quietly, a 13-game point streak with 18 points over that span for Logan Stankoven. He's been unbelievable.
What a call by Means on that Stankoven number for the first round. And look, they're going to continue to ride him into the second round, guys. Part of me thought, Nick, maybe we see it shift a little bit, and all of a sudden it's going to be the Aho, Jarvis, Svechnikov line. And I'm sure those guys will have an impact at some point in the second round series against Philly. But like Meany said, I don't think Philly's going to offer much resistance. As much as I like the Flyers, I picked them in the first round against the Penguins. Impressive win. Vladar is playing some excellent hockey between the pipes. I feel like he's the only way that Philly can win a game in that series against Carolina. Nick, I don't know if you want to make a case for the Flyers to win a couple here. This feels like a 4 or 5 game series for the Canes for me.
I'll preface by saying I correctly picked Colorado over LA in a sweep. I'm doing the same. Mm-hmm. Carolina sweep over Philadelphia plus 255. Means, you like that bet?
Yeah, I'm with you, and I was with you on the Avs, and that wasn't a great number that, you know, was presented. I mean, plus 355 potentially, I think, around there. So I see the plus 255. Even if you don't feel comfortable with that, you think maybe Philly will get a game, minus 140. There's a little bit of juice there. I think that this series will be over in 4 or 5. And, you know, the value is gone. I did tweet out Stankoven at 10-1 to lead the series again in goals. He's plus 125. But there is a little bit of value for him in shots at 5-1 to lead the series. He had 5 in game 1. Points at plus 350, or you take a look at the other guys on his line. Taylor Hall 20-1 right now to lead the series in points. Blake 8-1, and maybe go the other way with assists. Jake, you know, Stankoven is scoring, but he's 60-1 to lead the series in assists. That line, it's not just him. That line in particular, they've just been fantastic for almost 6-7 weeks now.
Right, and we could see it flip where maybe Blake becomes the finisher or Taylor Hall becomes the finisher on that line. And I love the shot prop for Stankoven as well, game by game. That's something I've been playing. Meany, you mentioned it's plus money for 3 shots every single game. Feels like he hits that midway through the second period most nights. Nick, and I want to get Pete in on this as well. How do we feel about Buffalo, Montreal? This one priced fairly close. Seeing Montreal actually a shorter number to win the Stanley Cup right now than the Buffalo Sabres, so maybe that's where you might find some value in the Sabres, Nick. But where are you leaning in this series?
Yeah, the numbers shift quickly, but last I look, a pick 'em at minus 110, and I think that's correctly priced. I think people are going to continue to sleep on the Montreal Canadiens, especially the way Jakub Dobish is playing right now. And considering that Cole Caulfield was really, really quiet in the first round, I thought Tampa did a tremendous job on him, but if Montreal gets him going, I think it's lights out for the Buffalo Sabres. I think it's correctly priced. Like, I think this is another series, Pete, where I can easily see it going 7 games.
I think there's going to be some high scoring games here. You're going to want to hit on the different props. We know how deep Buffalo's offense is. You could say the same about Montreal. I mean, you can get good value on many of these anytime goal scorers. You could put together a same game parlay that features a 50 goal scorer Caulfield, a 40 goal scorer three of the past 4 years in Tage, and then even sprinkle in some, right, some Jack Quinns and some of these different guys lower in the lineup. Demidov and Slavkovsky had that huge game one, of course, for Montreal. Quiet after that, but Montreal proved they could win in any single different way, even though it's a very young team, only having 9 shots on goal in game 7 is one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my time as a hockey fan, which is a long time.
I mean, the fewest shots ever in a Stanley Cup playoff win. So, yeah, it is one of the craziest things we've ever seen. And, Nick, you're right. I mean, nothing really from Cole Caulfield at 5-5. In fact, 0 points. Suzuki was the only big dog there, if you include Demidov and Slavkovsky, to produce at 5-5. He had an assist earlier in the series and of course, had the goal there. But I would, you know, we're talking a lot about Carolina and Colorado, and I get it. But there is a little bit of value in the Conn Smythe future market for these goalies in this series. I mean, Lyon has taken over that net. He's 50-1. Dobish, 35-1. If they do get by the Sabres, he was in net for all 3 victories against Carolina earlier in the season. You know he's going to face a lot of rubber, so those save percentage numbers are going to be fairly high. And if the Canadians do go on a run, Jake, it will be because of Dobish, right? I expect the top line to be better at 5-5, get away from Hagel, Cirelli, and Cooper and company, but ultimately it's going to be because of Dobish.
Maybe you guys talked about Cole Caulfield, right? Not really getting going yet. His numbers against the Buffalo Sabres have been a little bit better, so maybe this is a team to get him going. But I'd look further down the board for most goals in this series. Maybe your Uri Slefkovsky about +750. If you want to go real deep, Ivan Demidov, 40-1. Again, not a player we have seen had a huge impact in these playoffs, but things can change series to series. And I think he's a guy that will get into some offensive opportunities, maybe in a little bit more of a free-flowing series against the Buffalo Sabres, Nick.
I love dog hunting, guys. We've talked for 12 minutes now. We have not mentioned the Anaheim Ducks, and our apologies to Ducks Nation out there. They're playing the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm surprised you guys haven't gotten on me in the first 12 minutes either about Mitch Marner, my boy. What a game 6 closing out Utah in that series. But I'm going dog hunting, aka duck hunting means in this series. +165. Give me the Ducks over the Vegas Golden Knights in this series.
An extremely impressive opening round. Shout out to Leo Carlson, Cutter Gauthier, Jackson Lacombe, who spent a lot of time on Connor McDavid, slowed him down a little bit. I like Vegas. I had Vegas going to the Stanley Cup final, in our preview show. I loved their game all year long at 5-5. They just couldn't score goals. And you're right about Marner. Let's give him his flowers. I mean, he had 7 points in the 6 games. He had the 2 goals and 3 points, 7 shots on goal in the series clinching win. He had 2 shorthanded points. Howden has showed up. Like, they're getting contributions up and down their lineup right now. So I think Vegas is pretty interesting from a props angle. I know you like Dorofeyev, Jake. He's +550 to lead the series in goals. He's +500 to lead the series in shots. I do want to give some love to Carlson, though. He leads all players in shots at 5-5. He's 4th in shots overall at all strengths, and he's got 38 attempts in 6 games. So he's firing the puck, and it's a guy at 12-1 who could lead this series in shots on goal.
I was going to mention that means. I like that number on Leo Carlson. I think there's, if we do like Vegas, I know you said you like Vegas, Nick, you're taking a shot on the dog here in Anaheim. I like Vegas. I lean Vegas. I think it's going to be a tight series. If that's the case and they're leading for good chunks and maybe Anaheim's chasing games, I like Leo Carlson to fire the puck a lot and continue to what he did in the last series. So I like him for most shots in this series. That's a really solid number. Leaning Vegas, maybe a play on the over 6.5 games here for this thing to go 7. You can get over 2-1 odds with that one. But I was impressed by the Ducks in the first round. And Nick, the reason I didn't get on you for Mitch Marner, I thought he was invisible for large chunks of that series. He stepped up at the right time. Good for him. But playoff Mitch, I feel like there were some groans from the Vegas crowd sometimes when I was watching those games.
Just a bit. Victory lapping in round one's a difficult one for me. But Pete, you look at this series, Anaheim and Vegas. I think it's going to be a series that people sleep on, but don't count out those Ducks. A really, really strong showing in round one against Edmonton.
Definitely. I think they're going to give Vegas some real tough games in this series. I would watch on Anaheim for the live line. I mean, look at the offense. I know Edmonton is not as structured as Vegas, especially with Torts as the coach, you know, since that coaching change. But look at the offense Anaheim put up at 8 different guys with at least 5 points in the first round, including Killorn with 6 points, Troy Terry with 8 in 6 games, Jackson Lacombe, you know, for a while was leading the entire postseason in assists and points. He's gotten surpassed by now, but Like, this is a prop market galore, and I think it's a, you know, you saw it in the Colorado-Minnesota series as well. I mean, you got to be hitting on those props the rest of the series.
I'm kind of torn on 6.5 over, I think we could see 7, but Vegas said on the series spread at -1.5 at +115 does stand out to me. Like, all the credit to Anaheim, even Killorn, like, all these guys showed up in a big way. And I think it's just more about the Oilers guys and the holes that they have in their game, where Vegas is stingy, the lowest expected goals against rate at 5.5 per 60 this year, and some of their guys are just clicking. So, Jake, I don't know if there's any value for you in the Conn Smythe market. Does Marner all of a sudden enter the conversation? Is it just one game? But 30-1, Eichel 22-1. I know Hart hasn't been great, but 100-1 as well. And if they are going to win the Stanley Cup, he's going to need to be much better.
I think I probably would look to the Eichel range. Marner's probably going to have to sell me a little bit more. I know he did have the big game in the closeout game, but I'm going to need to see a little bit more from him. And Vegas is a team where you could take a deeper shot down the board here, Nick, if you are looking into the Conn Smythe market. We saw it years ago with Jonathan Marchessault, and this is sort of a similar group, a scoring by committee type team. Maybe you look at a Pavel Dorofeev. If he's just going to keep scoring a bunch of goals, put up a crazy number, could he be a guy that ends up winning that Conn Smythe?
Yeah, there wasn't really one guy who stood out for me for Vegas in round one, and I think there's a lot of avenues you can attack there. Like, I would say in terms of Conn Smythe odds, the most value you can find right now, and I know they're down 1-0, is Quinn Hughes at +4,000. I've just been so impressed with this guy ever since he was dealt from Vancouver to Minnesota. And you talk about a guy who changes the course of a franchise for the better. I don't remember a midseason trade having this much impact, guys. Like, he is everything to this Minnesota team. And you can't forget, Jake, it's the old joke, like, Minnesota gets to the first round, they lose. Well, they just beat one of the best teams in hockey, the team I picked to win the Stanley Cup, in the Dallas Stars, man.
I love that play for value. Obviously, you're going to need Minnesota to beat Colorado, which we know is a tall task. But if I'm envisioning that path for Minnesota, and it would open up if they do beat Colorado, all of a sudden, I think we'd all look at the Wild and go, okay, they're the team to beat now in the Western Conference. You'd have a great number on Quinn Hughes. So I don't mind that for a little sprinkle if you're already thinking of taking them to win the series. And Meany, I'll go back to a player I mentioned on the first round preview for a Conn Smythe, Alex Tuck. He was 100-1 before the postseason started. We talked about Buffalo and some of their top players. Tuck is just quietly producing. I could see him scoring some big goals if the Sabres are going to go all the way. The number's been cut in half, but I still think if you wanted to jump in, 50-1 right now over at Bet365, not a bad play on Alex Tuck.
It's a really good call. I got the three Sabres written down here. I mentioned Lyon at 50-1, Tage at 35. You know, Pete shouts out Darlene, which is really nice. Bowen Byram's had a good, you know, first few games of the playoffs, but Tuck plays in all those situations, right? And I think that matters. You know, he's killing penalties, producing shorthanded on the power play. He's moved up on that first power play. He hadn't really played on PP1 all year long. So 50-1 is a pretty good number for him. And, you know, since we're on that Buffalo and Montreal series again, I mean, it's +190 to go 7 games. If you like the Canadians, it's +500. And you know, Bet365 has these exact futures. And Pete, for your Stanley Cup final prediction, what, Colorado over Buffalo? That's 12-1. You know, if you want to go Colorado over Carolina, that's +400. So there are ways to get involved, even though when you look at the Stanley Cup futures, Nick, you see +190 for Colorado, Carolina. If you think that's going to be a final, you could take some value that way.
I mean, the Conn Smythe odds board right now, generally speaking, has some things that are a little whacked out, like Taylor Hall +3,000. But then behind him, you see Suzuki, Tage, and Dahlin. Like, one of those two teams is going to win that series. And then you also see Stone and Marner at +3,000. I know Vegas has a great chance to beat Anaheim, but are they really going to beat Colorado or Minnesota in the third round? I don't think so. And I worry about the Hurricanes a little bit. If they're cruising, they have a week and a half off, they haven't been tested, I could see that Atlantic team knocking them off in the conference finals. So I really, when I look at the Conn Smythe odds, like, I'm gravitating towards either Suzuki for Montreal or Tage or Dahlin for the Sabres.
Couldn't agree more. Now is the time to pounce when it comes to that mark. We're going to hit the break. Much more to come here on our round two playoff preview. Don't go anywhere.
The eye test. It used to be all hockey fans had to analyze the game's biggest stars to see the difference in McDavid's speed, Hedman's shot, or Bedard's impact on the ice. But thanks to NHL Edge, fans get access to advanced stats through puck and player tracking. Using millions of data points to compare players' speed, power, and impact. See for yourself at nhl.com/edge.
Adnan and Verk here to talk about our great podcast, NHL Unscripted, with Verk and Demers.
Jason Demers here. After playing 700 NHL games, it turns out I have an opinion or two. the only place I'd like to see Sid go is Colorado. Yeah. That's really it.
Is there a chance the NHL returns to Arizona someday where you played? Baby, come back. You could do it all. Oh, me. Yes, we're coming back. Tune into NHL Unscripted with Verk and Demers on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy and Ice Round 2 Playoff Preview Show. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. This show and podcast is a presentation of Bet365, home of the three-goal early payout and official partner of the NHL. Hockey fans tired of waiting for the end of the game to get paid, ready to move on to the next puck drop. That's why Bet365, an official partner of the NHL, has three-goal early payout. If the team you're riding goes up three goals at any point in the game, they'll pay your bet out early. Hockey moves fast, and now with three-goal early payout, there's one less thing you have to wait around for. Bet365. Download the app and see what early payout's all about. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. And Jake, this time of year is just so enticing on so many levels. I talked about goaltending early on. A lot of top performers in round one, like Logan Stankov, and we haven't brought up the name Ryan Poehling. Like, it's always the unsung heroes this time of year.
Well, I love that part of the playoffs. Now, certainly it can be your top guys, and sometimes you need that big goal. Okay, obviously you're going to look to your top players, but we uncover some of those great stories, those depth guys in the postseason. And again, shouting out Meany for that call on Logan Stankov, and it continues. And goaltending has been a storyline as well. You mentioned some of the guys that have played well, whether it was Buffalo pivoting and going to Alex Lyon. It felt like that really changed the series for them. Dan Vladar, who I thought was unbelievable for the Flyers, particularly in that closeout game. I thought that game was never going to end. Cam York scores, avoids the game seven and all the history that would have come with it for the Flyers. And if the Flyers have any shot here to upset the Carolina Hurricanes, it's got to be the Vladar show. I'd expect him to have to make 30 plus saves every single game.
And again, it was weird, guys, that we get to the first round and teams are just using one guy. And a different line too means, like, we haven't brought him up yet, Jackson Lacombe, I thought, has just been carrying that momentum all season long. I know he got some heat, especially in Montreal. How do you leave Hudson off the Olympic team? How do you put Lacombe on? But man, this guy was outstanding against Edmonton.
Man, absolutely phenomenal to watch. The way that he skates and moves up the ice. And I didn't know that he had that in, like, the defensive prowess to his game was certainly on point. I mean, jumping over the boards over 50% of the time, McDavid is too, and kind of limiting him. So that's another guy to take a look at in the shot prop market throughout the series. Jackson Lacombe has been around the 2-3 mark. He's plus money for three. John Carlson, plus money for three. I know Cutter Gauthier and Leo Carlson are pretty juiced for the three shots, but you can parlay those guys together. Like, those are the four players who are going to be leaned on a lot. But you mentioned Ryan Poehling, Alex Killorn, Kirby Dach line that St. Louis put together in game three with Alexander Texier and Zach Bolduc. Those guys are plus money for a point. So Jake, there's lots of avenues that you can attack throughout the series. Third, fourth lines. I mean, this is, like you said, this is the time of the year. Josh Anderson playing on the top line last night with Suzuki. So keep an eye throughout the series.
I want to give a shout to Matt Zuccarello here as well. Veteran guy that's just hanging around that Minnesota top six. A very impactful player. And look back to the first round. He did miss a few games. Well, the few games that he played, Minnesota won every single one of those games. They were 3-0 in games that Zuccarello played in the first round. Now, they did lose, obviously, to Colorado here in game one. But once again, he finds the score sheet. And he's a guy that tends to be a little bit further down the board, Nick, when it comes to the props, right? We all want to bet Kaprizov and Boldy and certainly Quinn Hughes, who you mentioned earlier. So keep an eye on Zuccarello because he's firmly planted in that Minnesota Wild lineup.
That was the interesting thing about game one, 9-6, the final for Colorado over Minnesota, was just how quiet a lot of the big boys on both rosters were. We got like the McKinnon empty netter like late, and that's the beauty of playoff hockey, as you guys broke down. I wonder too, again, about that Anaheim series, why they're a bigger dog against Vegas than they were against Edmonton. They open up a plus 140 against Edmonton, and now you look at plus 165. I think across the board, guys, special team is going to be massive. The Ducks 8-for-16 yeah. in round one against Edmonton. Vegas 4-for-20 in their series. Pete, I'm also looking at that Buffalo series, man. I'm putting stats together for this show. The last 13 games overall, including round one, where they're 1-for-24. The Sabres are 1-for-46 on the power play, Pete Jensen. So that's, to me, that's maybe the biggest story of their series against Montreal here in round two.
It's going to get feisty. It's going to be tight. And also, Montreal struggled on the power play at the tail end of that series. I mean, that was horrible. They really couldn't do anything. Tampa looked like they were going to score many different times in that game seven. They were buzzing, but Montreal survived. Whichever team capitalizes on those opportunities is going to win the series. I would be very surprised if those power plays didn't take big steps forward in this upcoming series, which begins on Wednesday.
And, you know, there will be a lot of power plays. I think, you know, the longer the Montreal and Tampa Bay series went on, I think, you know, once it was tied at 2-2, the refs kind of put the whistles away and there was a little bit of cleaner hockey. But Montreal and Buffalo, it's going to be physical. I think the Sabres present different challenges than Tampa did in terms of how physical they can play. They're bigger up front. Jake, you look at their blue line, everybody's 6'4", right? So it is really going to be tough to attack those areas. But the Canadiens' penalty kill was phenomenal against the Lightning down the stretch of that series. I mean, Kucherov, what can you say about him? 0 points in seven career games, one playoff goal in his last 22. That's a story for another day. But I thought the Canadiens did a pretty good job against a very lethal Lightning power play.
How do we feel about Noah Dobson being an X factor after coming back in game seven? We'll see if he ends up playing this whole series, but that gives Montreal a lot more support on the back end for sure. But we've talked about how Buffalo has all these tall guys on defense, and they've all had great playoffs so far. A lot of offense from Power and Byram, and Samuelson had that epic go-ahead goal in the game one. So I lean Buffalo on the defenseman battle, but Dobson narrows the gap a little bit.
Well, obviously Dobson makes them a much better team defensively, and it's tough coming in being asked to play a game seven after not playing for so long. I think he thought he gave a pretty good account of himself, and maybe he'll only get better as this round two series now goes on against the Buffalo Sabres. The one thing I'd like to see more from Montreal, Nick, or differently from Montreal, would be Lane Hutson to shoot the puck more. Look at what he did, that overtime winner he scored. What was that, game four, I believe it was, in the series, or maybe game three. Just an absolute bomb from the point, and I see a little bit of Quinn Hughes early in his career, mm-hmm. where he had all this great skill set but really wouldn't shoot the puck a whole lot. Maybe that's what Lane Hutson can develop into the next 2 to 3 years. I mean, Habs fans would be really hopeful to see that, but love to see him shoot the puck a little bit more, especially if penalty kills are trying to take away Cole Caulfield or Slafkovsky, free up that lane for Lane Hutson to rip that shot.
I expect a lot of offense in that series, at least early on. I think that's a theme we saw in round one as well, guys, where a lot of offense early, then it starts to taper off in the second half of the series. Much similar to we see a lot of physicality, a lot of penalties early on, and then the second half of the series, the power plays sort of go to bed. But how would you attack that portion of that Montreal-Buffalo series? Is it the over that you're looking at, Means?
I couldn't agree more with you, man. Yeah, I'm looking right now, 5.5, -120 for the over. I do like the Sabres in the first game as well, -135, you know, just after that hard-fought battle from the Canadiens, and I think they're staying in Tampa till Tuesday, so they're going to be on the road here for a little bit. But yeah, I think we're going to see some goals. We're going to see some offense. This is what we saw from the two teams throughout the regular season, and you know, I think there's going to be a lot of value throughout, Jake. I mean, because Buffalo's offense is so spread out. Like, Krebs has had a good series. Byram, Doan, Quinn, all these guys are usually plus money for a point. The secondary scores in Montreal, definitely going to be plus money for a point. So I think that you could be able to attack this series as a high scoring one.
One angle I really like for a prop here, I've mentioned him a couple times already on the pod, is Dan Vladar over saves in the entire series against Carolina. Just play it every game. It's 25.5. It's only 25.5 for game number two on Monday night, and you could get 30 saves for 2-1 odds. I think that's could be you could ladder that up. And if the Flyers score first, guys, I know we talked about how the Canes have not trailed at all. At some point, they're going to trail. Can Philly score an early goal maybe in this game, put a little pressure on them? And if that's the case, I think you could see the Canes run that shot clock deep into the 30s. So Vladar saves ladder is somewhere I'm going to be for good chunks of that series.
I like that, Jake. And, Philadelphia, it just hurts from their perspective. Means it really would have helped to sweep Pittsburgh, because lost in the shuffle is Owen Tippett getting hurt, right? We talk about some of the injuries, Josh Manson with Colorado, but the Tippett one for Philadelphia is just so monumental. I just don't know if they recover. I know people probably listen to this pod in Philadelphia. You guys are counting this team out. But Carolina is just the wrong team to play this time of year, especially in the second round, especially coming off a seven-game series the way they did against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah, we are being a little unfair to the Flyers. And again, it is a great story, but you're right. The matchup is not strong for them against Carolina. They do play a similar brand of hockey, but Carolina just has too much firepower right now. Again, the breakout of Stankoven is their second-line center. Nikolai Ehlers playing on the third line. There's just a lot to like about this team and where they're at, and they're getting the goaltending. But you're right. I mean, one guy that could really afford to go down for them was probably Owen Tippett, and we saw a line for a little bit of Porter Martone, Tippett, and Zegras, and it just the future looks really good with those three players moving forward, but just not a lot of firepower offensively, I don't think, for the Philadelphia Flyers to keep up.
It's my bad, too. It went 6 games, not 7 games, before people come at me at social media. But it felt like 7 games because it was 3-0 for Philadelphia in that series. And credit to Pittsburgh for storming back. And Dan Vladar was like the great story, Jake, as you alluded to. But Carolina, that's also a crazy story. We've talked about it. But like Freddie Anderson, the goaltending there, how stealth that team has been defensively. And you talk about pathways. We always talk about this going into the playoffs. It's setting up pretty nicely, taking nothing away from Philadelphia, but they disposed of Ottawa. I think the least amount of games you can get to the conference final, the fresher you are, obviously.
Well, and I said this on the round one preview, I thought the two best teams on that side of the bracket were Carolina and Ottawa. Now, maybe we won't know if that's actually true because Ottawa didn't really give a great account of themselves, but if that is indeed true and Carolina was able to sweep the other best team in that side of the bracket, then I'm afraid for what could happen to the Flyers here. I do want to see these teams face a little bit of adversity, you know, whether it's Colorado or whether it's Carolina. You know, you want that easy path. You don't want to play too many extra games, but I think within a game, maybe you'd like to face a little adversity, whether that's coming down from a goal. Colorado had to do it a little bit in that LA series, Meany, but at some point Philly's got to throw a punch in this series, but I think the Canes will be up to the task and have no problem. I don't see it going longer than 5 games.
Yeah, maybe when it gets back to Philadelphia. As for tonight, I mean, I think you just follow this trend, right? Carolina on the puck line +110. You look at Stankoven, yeah. Hall, Blake, they're all around -110 for a point. There's correlation there. You want to include them, you're going to get 2-1 nearly. And then for Stankoven, I mean, actually tonight is the first time we haven't seen plus money for 3 shots, which is -120. You know, Jake, I love the ladder call there for Vladar. I think he can do the same thing here for Stankoven shots, and +205 for 4, +475 for 5. He's just on an absolute heater right now.
I like it. We'll go around around the horn here. Firstly, I want to say I like the over in game 1 Anaheim Vegas, the over in game 2 Colorado Minnesota goes without saying, and the under here in game 2 between Carolina and Philadelphia. We'll go Means to Jake, to Pete, your picks here. I'll go first. I like Colorado, I like Anaheim, I like Montreal and Carolina. Over to you, Means.
Yeah, I'm with you on all those, but I'm going to lean with Vegas. I think Vegas is going to win in 6, like the Canadiens in 7. I think the Avs are going to win in 6. There's a little bit of value on the over 5.5 games in that series because Colorado blew them out. I think -115, -120 at Bet365. And I think the Hurricanes are going to sweep.
Give me the Canes in 5. I'll give Vladar a game here and let that push it to 5, which would mean Carolina would win that on home ice. I lean Vegas slightly, guys. I think there is some value in Anaheim on the number, but I'll take Vegas in 7 games. I'm also going to take Colorado in 7 games, guys. Minnesota, I think, is going to have their moments throughout the course of this series. I think they could push the Avs, and this probably the toughest one for me, Petey, and I'll send it over to you, and I know you're probably going to disagree, but I'm going to take Montreal in 6 games over the Sabres. It's just a vibes play. There's something a little magical about the Habs. They just seem to find a way, yeah, find a way to win playoff games, and I'm really excited for this series. Going to be a great energies in both buildings. Montreal, Buffalo, going back and forth. Going to be a great one to sit and watch or go to the games if you have the opportunity.
I got Colorado in 6, Vegas in 7. Anaheim's going to give them fits. Buffalo in 7, and Carolina in 4. And a little precursor: if Buffalo Montreal goes 7, I will try to be in the building. I am making arrangements to be in the building.
Oh, Pete, if you're not hammering that drum in Buffalo, something's wrong. But yeah, I'm just going to put that out there. But my bracket, guys, tarnished. It's busted. I had Dallas winning my Stanley Cup. But gents, great job today. We'll reconvene in a couple weeks for a conference final preview. This thing's motoring along very, very quickly. We're a quarter of the way through here, Jake.
I can't wait. It's been a lot of fun so far, and let's see some surprises here. I know we're all kind of gravitating towards Colorado, Carolina. It doesn't always work out that way in the NHL. Someone's going to throw a wrench into the plans. We'll see which team that is.
Love it. For Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Elberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy and Ice. We'll see you in a few weeks to tee up round 3. Take care.